Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, May 7, 2024, Joel.
All right, a couple things before we get started. First of all, yesterday, Monday, Natalie had her 11th birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Natalie!
Thank you, Papa.
And this was put up by a proud papa here. Where's daughter? Also, an announcement. There will be a short meeting after class tomorrow night in the big classroom for anyone interested in helping with Vacation Bible School. You've probably already seen the Vacation Bible School sign out there. It's all set up. A lot of work has gone into this. It takes a lot of work for Vacation Bible School. And tomorrow night, big classroom, anyone interested in helping with Vacation Bible School tomorrow night? Big classroom. When I first came here, they called it Vacation Bible School, and the only people that were at Vacation Bible School were the people in our own church. I said, if that's all it is, I'll cancel it. There will be no Vacation Bible School if it's only the people in the church. It should be evangelism. And I said, either it's going to be evangelism and opened up to all of Southern Nevada, of kids and parents coming and hearing the grace gospel, or else we're not going to have it. Well, from then, for years and years and years, we have had probably thousands of young people that have come here, heard the grace gospel, believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's been absolutely phenomenal. And we're going to have Vacation Bible School this year too. But if you want to be a part of that, tomorrow night. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to the book of Joel, chapter 2. The last paragraph, verses 28 to 32, which was so significant in the eyes of the Orthodox Jews that in the Hebrew Scriptures, they made a special chapter. Joel 2, 28 to 32 in your Bibles is actually Joel chapter 3 in the Hebrew Scriptures. Joel 3, 1 through 5, because it was so powerful, so unique, so significant as a prophetical passage, they made a special chapter for it. And that's where we are, Joel 2, 28 to 32. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, the Jewish question. The world is staggering under the weight of billions of bad decisions. Bad decisions by regular citizens and bad decisions by the world leaders. Of those choices, one stands out as particularly dangerous. The decision to blame Jews for humanity's problems. Why is it particularly dangerous? Because the Lord told us in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And what is going on in America is particularly dangerous to the United States of America. As a client nation to God. We won't be a client nation to God much longer the way we are going in apostasy and degeneracy. And it's by our own bad decisions of the people in this nation. We have seen where this decision leads. The Nazis took it to a place they called Endlösung. In English, that means the final solution. Adolf Hitler built his whole sorry career on extreme hatred. Extreme hatred of the Jewish people. In his book, Mein Kampf, he blamed Jews for mankind's worst evils. He spoke of the Jewish question as a primary problem for humanity. A problem that he could solve. And his solution was simple. In 1922, 3 years before Mein Kampf, Hitler told a journalist, quote, once I really am in power, my first and foremost task will be the annihilation of the Jews. What you see going on college campuses all over this country, you might as well have Nazi swastikas all over universities because they are nothing but Nazis in their thinking. No different. Our university students are no different than the Nazis under Adolf Hitler. The same thinking. Of course, no one believed him. He said it, but if his voice entered the consciousness of most people at all, it did so as something of an oddity from the outer fringe. At first, no one thought that he would even gain power. When he did, they assumed his power would be checked by more moderate forces. He abused the Jewish people from the beginning. But that abuse did not start with annihilation. He did not pull the trigger on his plan to exterminate Jews until December 12, 1941, one day after declaring war on the United States of America. On that day, Hitler held a secret meeting with 50 Nazi officials, including their minister of propaganda, Joseph Goebbels. There are no official minutes from that meeting, but in his journal, Goebbels wrote, quote, "With respect of the Jewish question, the Führer has decided to make a clean sweep. He prophesied to the Jews that if they again brought about a world war, they would live to see their annihilation in it." And that wasn't just a catchword. If the German people have now again sacrificed 160,000 dead on the Eastern Front, then those responsible for this bloody conflict will have to pay with their lives. Hitler had decided to exterminate an entire people to engage in actual genocide. The Nazis called it the final solution. We call it the Holocaust. They decided to rid Europe of Jews by murdering them. Germany was a modern nation filled with intelligent, educated people. They were children of the Enlightenment. They weren't so different from us today. That point was brought home to me again in the last few days when I saw a sign that featured a large Palestinian flag and a small Israeli flag beside the words, "Final Solution." This was not in some faraway land. It was at George Washington University. And that sign is a clear and obvious reference to the Holocaust, a call for the destruction not just of Israel, but of all Jews. What happened in Germany eight decades ago started as something small and from the fringe of society. But this time, it has spread to the whole world. Jewish students at American universities are being bullied and belittled, threatened and injured. They are not alone. It is a worldwide phenomenon. How far will it go? The Bible teaches that hatred of the Jews will be a feature of the last days. I had hoped it would be a post-rapture phenomenon, that the church would be strong enough to hold back this satanic evil as long as the church stays on earth. It still could. The next few days and weeks will tell quite the story. Joel chapter 2. verses 28 to 32. Or if you have your Hebrew Bible, Joel chapter 3, 1 through 5. You didn't bring your Jewish Bible, Hebrew Bible? Well, what is? Joel 2:28 to 32 is one of the most prophetic and significant prophetical passages in the Old Testament scriptures, describing that part of the day of the Lord concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ, the second advent of Christ, and the establishment of his kingdom on planet Earth, that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. Joel 2:28 and 29, the millennial kingdom will be a time of unprecedented great spirituality and great ecstatics. There will be wonderful emotion in the millennium, and it's all legitimate. Joel 2:28 and 29, and it will come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. The millennium begins with believers only. Only believers start that dispensation of the millennial kingdom. All unbelievers are removed from planet Earth, the baptism of fire. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. And even on the male and female slaves, servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days in the millennial kingdom. And then in Joel 2:30-31, the Lord tells us when this will take place. Verse 30, and I will display miraculous signs in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and terror-stricken day of the Lord. We have exegeted those four verses. We're down to verse 32, which gives the qualifications for entering the millennial kingdom. There's a lot of confusion today among Fundy believers over just about any doctrine, because Bible doctrine is not the emphasis of local churches anymore. But there's a lot of confusion concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of Fundy believers that call the rapture of the church, they call that the second coming. But it's not the second coming. The rapture and the second coming are two completely different events. The rapture will take place 7 years prior to the second coming of Christ to the earth. And therefore, it is imperative that believers rightly divide the word of truth and distinguish between the rapture and the second advent. And you should be able to make that distinction confidently and know exactly what the Word of God says. As we closed last week, we were noting the distinction between the rapture and the second advent, and we've studied the first 5 points. We noted in point one that the rapture is private. It's only for the royal family of God. That's all. And the rest of the world will know nothing about it except this, that those cantankerous Christians aren't around here anymore. They're all gone. And they'll probably have parties and, you know, invite people over for pizza and beer and celebrate. The Christians are gone. Yay! You know. They don't know anything about the rapture. They just know that all the Christians are gone. So the rapture is private, only for the royal family of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. However, the second advent is public. Revelation 1:7 says, every eye will see him. Every eye on planet Earth. All the believers, all the unbelievers will see him at the second advent. Because right before Christ comes back, total blackness, totally dark. And then in that total darkness, the only light is the light of the glory of Jesus Christ coming back to planet Earth. It'll be a 24-hour event, the second coming of Christ. A revolution of planet Earth so that every eye can see him. Point two, the rapture will take place in the atmospheric heavens. The Greek word is air, but not A-I-R, A-E-R. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that's the atmospheric heavens. However, the second advent will take place on the earth. Jesus Christ will come back to the earth. His foot will touch down on the Mount of Olives. And when it touches down on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14:4, a huge earthquake will take place. The Mount of Olives will split. And in the rapture, Jesus Christ stops at the atmospheric heavens around the earth. Second advent, his foot touches down on the Mount of Olives. Point three, the rapture is followed by the evaluation of the royal family of God at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. The second advent is followed by the baptism of fire, where all unbelievers are judged and removed from the earth. Matthew 3, 11 and 12, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. All Jewish unbelievers will be removed from the earth. Ezekiel 20, 34 to 38. All Gentile unbelievers will be removed from the earth. Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 46. Point four. At the rapture, the church goes to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. At the second advent, the church returns to earth with Christ as his bride, Revelation 19:7 to 14. Five, at the rapture, the Holy Spirit is removed. That is, the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is removed. 2 Thessalonians 2:6 and 7. At the second advent, Satan is removed. Revelation 20, 1 to 3, and that enables the Lord Jesus Christ to rule planet Earth for 1,000 years, the golden age, of the millennial kingdom, perfect environment, world peace, perfect prosperity, perfect righteousness, perfect justice. Man will learn war no more. It's because the counterfeiter, the deceiver, is in prison. The greatest deceiver of all time is Satan, the fallen angel Satan. Point six, that we take it up now at point six. At the rapture, the church age believer's body is changed. At the rapture, the church age believer's body is changed. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. A transformation takes place. Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform, change our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body, resurrection body. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. So at the rapture, the church age believer's body is changed. At the second advent, the earth is changed. The earth is changed. Turn over to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. That's the police helicopter. They're looking for, are they looking for any of you people in here? Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard, not to have lamb chops either. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then turn over to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Because the earth is changed at the second advent. At the rapture, the church age believer's body is changed. At the second advent, the earth is changed. Point seven. At the rapture, Christ, as the groom, comes for his bride. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. At the rapture, Christ appears as the groom, coming for his bride. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. At the second advent, he appears as the Son of Man with power and great glory. Matthew 24, 30. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24:30. In fact, we could even start at 29. The sign of his coming. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Jesus Christ, Holy Bible class. Verse 30. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth, all the nations on the earth will mourn. Mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So at the rapture, Christ comes as the groom for his bride. At the second advent, he appears as the Son of Man with power and great glory. 8, the rapture concludes the dispensation of the church age. The rapture concludes the dispensation of the church age, while the second advent concludes the dispensation of the age of Israel. The tribulation is the 70th week of Daniel, the last part of the age, the Jewish age. So the rapture concludes the dispensation of the church age. The second advent concludes the dispensation of the Jewish age. 9. Following the rapture, Israel is under the fifth cycle of discipline. After the rapture, Israel is under the fifth cycle of discipline. Following the second advent, the fifth cycle of discipline is over, terminated. At the second advent, the fifth cycle of discipline is over. Ten, at the rapture, believers are taken from the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18. At the rapture, believers are taken from the earth. Harpazo, raptured. At the second advent, unbelievers are taken from the earth. At the rapture, believers are taken from the earth. At the second advent, unbelievers are taken from the earth. You should still be in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, start of verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, Jesus Christ still holding Bible class, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah. So we got the illustration here. As it was in the days of Noah, who was removed in the days of Noah? Who was removed from the earth? All unbelievers in the days. There was only 8 people left on the worldwide Mabul. It was the Charlie Flood Mabul. Only 8 people left on planet Earth. All the unbelievers were removed. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, all the unbelievers were removed. Only 8 people left on planet Earth. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Just the same. Eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, right up till the day of the second advent, and then they're all gone. All unbelievers gone. Only believers left on planet Earth, just like the days of Noah. 11. The rapture is a time of great comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. However, the second coming of Christ, the second advent, is a time of terror. Terror. The rapture is a time of comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. The second advent is a time of terror. Turn over to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, starting at verse 12. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and every island was removed from its place. And then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Not one unbeliever will stand. They'll all be gone. So the rapture is a time of comfort. The second advent is a time of terror. So this paragraph, Joel 2, 28 to 32, describes three great spiritual experiences to be enjoyed by the remnant of believers. First, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all believers with great ecstatics, verses 28 and 29. The coming of the Lord to rescue and deliver the remnant of believers, rescuing them from the Antichrist and the false prophet, verses 30 and 31, and salvation of the remnant, and that's verse 32. Salvation of the remnant. In verse 32, the qualification for entering the millennial kingdom. Now, as we have studied these passages and we witness the horrors of the great tribulation, one might ask, will anyone escape? Will anyone escape the terrible and dreadful day of the Lord? And the answer is yes. Of course, you studied your Bible so thoroughly, you say, I know, yes, they will. A remnant. A remnant whom the Lord will call. Divine invitation. He will invite them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal salvation, and enter into the millennial kingdom. But make sure you understand, only a remnant out of all the people on planet Earth, only a remnant will be saved and delivered to enter the millennial kingdom. That is, one, during the tribulation, most of those who believe in Jesus Christ, and there will be multitudes who will, from Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses, from the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, the grace gospel will be given all over planet Earth, and there will be a multitudes who will place their faith in Jesus Christ, but most of them will be martyred for their faith. They will be slaughtered by ecumenical religion, and they will be slaughtered by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Most of the believers, most of those who place their faith in Christ in the tribulation, from the two witnesses and the 144,000 super evangelists, most of those will be martyred for their faith in Christ. And this is seen in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the Word of God. They had not worshipped the beast, the Antichrist. They refused to worship the Antichrist or his image. And they had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But they had been martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. So most of the ones who believed in Christ during the tribulation will be martyred. Revelation 20, verse 4. 2. Zechariah states that 2/3 of the Jewish population will be killed during the tribulation. But the 1/3 who survive will make up a part of the remnant who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The part that survive and did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, well, when the Lord comes back, he separates the goats from the sheep. The sheep are the believers, the goats are the unbelievers. Turn over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13, verse 8. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perish. yet one third will be left in it. This third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. Three, the spared remnant will be those who obey the mandates of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. The spared remnant will be those who obey the mandates of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 17. Then the dragon, Satan, was enraged at the woman, Israel, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. That, who is that? Those who obey God's mandates, God's commandments, and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Four. The Lord Jesus Christ will supernaturally provide a place of protection. A place of protection for them in the wilderness during the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. The Lord Jesus Christ will supernaturally provide a place of protection for them in the wilderness during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, which is the Great Tribulation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 says, the woman, which is Israel, fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation. Revelation 12, verse 13. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman, Israel, who had given birth to the male child, the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman, Israel, was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time. What's that? 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Out of the serpent's reach. And then Revelation 12, verse 16. But the earth helped the woman, Israel, by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon, Satan, had spewed out of his mouth. And then the Lord Jesus Christ taught about this in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, the Antichrist, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his, coat. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never, never to be equaled again. So the Lord Jesus Christ will supernaturally provide a place of protection for them in the wilderness during the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. 5. Before Israel went into the land of Canaan, Moses prophesied that a remnant would turn back to the Lord and obey him. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in the latter days, second advent, you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon nor destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Point 6. In the day of the Lord, many Jewish people who have had a veil over the eyes of their heart. Right now, this is true. This is true in Israel right now. In the day of the Lord, many Jewish people who have had a veil over the eyes of their heart. And what is that veil over the eyes? Scar tissue. Scar tissue on the soul. For centuries, they will have it lifted. And they will see and believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Paul writes about this, 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 14. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ, salvation through faith in Christ, is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart, scar tissue of the heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, believes in Jesus Christ, the veil is taken away. And then turn over to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, God the Holy Spirit. They will look on me, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, that's verse 1, this is the word of the Lord, Jehovah. They will look on me, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. 7. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord and believes in Jesus Christ, the veil of scar tissue is removed. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord and believes in Jesus Christ, the veil of scar tissue is removed. 2 Corinthians 3:14-16. 8. God will bring to fruition the provisions prophesied in the new covenant. The new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31-34. Jeremiah 31:31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So God will bring to fruition the provisions prophesied in the new covenant. Now it's interesting to note that for centuries, Jewish people have been buried on the Mount of Olives, facing the Temple Mount, in the hope that they will be resurrected to enter Jerusalem with the Messiah. However, it's very sad to say that this will not be the destiny for most of them. Only the ones who believed in Jesus Christ will see their hope become reality. All right. Now we're ready for the qualifications for entering the millennial kingdom. But you got to come back next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.